Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess Reverend Elizabeth on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are rocking and rolling right into our show here on Sacred Divergence Radio. This is episode 56, and tonight we are talking with Ron of Ron's Wands. Hello, Ron. How are you, my gold friend?
Hello. I'm doing very well.
Excellent. I like to hear that, especially since sometimes things don't go so well in your area.
That's putting it mildly.
Yes, putting it mildly. Oh, my goodness. So what you been doing lately?
No, that's impossible.
Well, I wouldn't say impossible. I would just say highly improbable.
All right, very highly improbable.
Okay, very highly improbable that you're staying out of trouble. So what are you doing to get yourself into trouble lately then?
Too much. Not to be discussed on the air.
Oh, I see. So it's a big top secret type thing.
Well, I could tell you, but then I'd have to find you and kill you. And MI6, you know, issues, MI6.
007, right,
doesn't
sure.
007 doesn't want me talking about them, so.
I'm sure. So, tell me about your wand business. How is that going? Are you making a lot of wands?
It's actually doing fairly well. This week, I'm going up to one of my shops that I sell them to. If it's okay, I'll name the shop on the air.
Sure, of course.
It's Mist and Maidens in Manchester, New Hampshire. I haven't seen them in a while, but I'm going to stop up there this week, and hopefully they'll buy some wands for me. But mostly this year I've been selling my wands in a shop, Enchanted, which is the current shop in which Lori Cabot does her readings from, since she's retired her shop. She works
cool.
in Enchanted, and so I sell my wands there.
Awesome. And so how long, for those of you who don't, for those of the listeners who don't know, how long have you been in the wands making business?
The second to the last year of the World of Witches Museum in Salem with Reverend Don Lewis. Rev Don.
Oh, okay. So Rev, like 2009, 2010, somewhere in there.
About there, yes. And Rev Don actually got me going. I was just looking to make some spare cash because I was desperate. And I watched a video on Magic TV by the late Katrina Kessler, Foxglove. And she did a thing about the apple blossom, the apple bow, where the golden bough. And at that same time, an apple tree died in my backyard.
Oh,
it was eaten by mice. And so I just, you know, as I was out doing some yard work, I looked at this and said, you know, somebody's going to cut this down before long. So I just went to town on the apple tree and stripped it of all its branches and carved some wands out of it. I didn't think it was anything much. I didn't expect much from it. So I brought him the Rev Don, and he was very interested in it, and he bought them. I came back a week later, and I said, well, how are they doing? He just stood and smiled at me. I turned around and looked around at the shop and says, so where are they? And he went, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's awesome. Wow. So
and then
you
after,
did good then.
Oh, yeah, I did very good. And I did some business with Rev Don, and then I kind of dropped off after the World of Witches Museum closed. I kind of dropped off of that for a while. And then a friend of mine pointed me out to Missing Maidens in Manchester, New Hampshire. And the friend of mine, of all things, is a Jehovah's Witness.
Wow.
So I owe my thanks to my second incarnation to my business to the JWs.
So, wait a minute. Jehovah's Witnesses bought your stuff?
No, but he's a friend of mine. I work with him. He was a coworker. And where he lived, he would always walk down the street and always walk past the shop. So
oh,
he said,
oh, okay.
You should just check it out sometime. And I did, and that began the second phase of my business.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I'm really happy for you, man.
And then after that, people just kept saying, you know, you need to get a website. You need to get a PayPal. You need to get a website. So I finally did it this year.
Well, that's awesome. That's great. I think everybody loves your wands. I certainly love the wand that you made for me. So I want to go into the process of how you select your wood and how you select the stone, if any, for each wand. Like, what's the process? Tell me. I want to dig deep here. Give me your thought process when you go into this.
Well, primarily, it has to be wood that is collected. I understand that it's amongst magical practice. If you can avoid harvesting wood, it's preferable. But for me, it's more practical. As when you harvest wood, you have to let it dry out before you can actually fully use it. It's ideal to carve wet wood because it's easier to carve. However, after you carve it, you still have to let it set out and dry out.
Right, right.
I would rather prefer a little culty or a little hard, make it a little hard to carve, but in the end, it's easier to produce the wand when the wood has been dead for a while, or not necessarily dead for a while, but the limb is dropped off or something.
Right, right. I understand what you're saying.
Makes the wood a much easier quality to process. Not always easier to carve, because as wood dries, it gets harder to carve, and then it gets past a certain point, and then it rots, and then it's no good at all.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
So I'm always timing it to try to find the perfect time to find the wood. However, my selection process has a tendency to be done for me, because after I did the apple tree and I sold those wands off, wood just started falling literally right in front of me. I'd be walking in a park and a whole branch of a tree would fall off and fall right in front of me.
Huh. Well, that's kind of obvious.
And then I'd walk out my foot like that. About 5 or 6 years ago, there was in New England, about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a frost, and the frost knocked off a huge branch of oak, which landed right in front of my door. So it blocked my way as I opened the door to get out to go anyplace. I'd walk out and there's this huge bunch of wood, so I grabbed a hacksaw and hacked it all up. So I had oak for my wood. And once it got through all the oak, I'm thinking, well, I guess that's going to be it for, wood. And my weekend job, I work for a wildlife, a environmental agency on the weekends for my summer job. And while I was out working on my summer job, about 75 to 100 feet away, a tree was struck by lightning and killed.
Yes, lightning struck wood. You're famous for that. I like your I like your lightning struck wood. I really, really do love the feel of lightning struck wood. It is just unbelievable.
It's pine.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you made mine out of pine, right?
Huh?
Or was mine maple?
I'll get to that in a minute, but with the pine tree, with that lightning strike, was pretty much killed instantly.
Oh.
So the estate manager that I live on had to cut the tree down, and I asked for some of the wood. So that's what I got, as I got a ton of wood, and it's not just branches, which I normally work with. The lightning strike pine is core wood.
Oh, okay.
So that's in the process of what I do with the core wood to give it the effect, because it's a lot different than a branch, is that I burn it.
Right.
And that's where I get all this, where you get the lovely patterns and effects in the wood from that, is from burning the wood.
Right. So, okay. Where do you get your inspiration from? Does it come from anywhere in specific, or does it just kind of come to you, or what? When you're building your wand, you have this piece of wood in front of you, and you go, "Okay, I'm going to do this with it," and that would be awesome. So how do you get to that point?
Well, I think when I originally started, I grabbed a piece of wood and start carving, and said, "I hope this works out." Wasn't any real aim or focus at it. I just like, here I go. Hope it works. But after looking at this for a while, I realized if you're familiar with fractal geometry, as if you can think of basically a weight, not like what you typically think of in like illustration wave, but like when you look at a surface of a river, or a pond, or even a swimming pool, the way the water bounces back and forth, you get these patterns. They're sort of like a tear shape with two points.
Yes.
And there's that sort of flow, that sort of wave. You will see that in everything from fire to water to tree branches to the human form to everything. It has that particular type of wave pattern. And that wave pattern doesn't just exist in the wood. It also exists in the way we move and the way things move, animals move, the way wind blows. So I think what happens is when I let go and I just don't focus on the wood, that wave pattern in my hand works with that's the wave pattern that's already in the wood. And so I get these patterns that come out. If I try to control it too much, The spiral pattern that I put into the wands doesn't quite turn out the way I want. So I've learned to go find the spot, look at where you think the spiral is going, start carving, and I determine what's going to happen.
That's really awesome. And I'm looking at my wand. Do you remember what my wand is made out of? Pardon?
It's lightning strike pine.
Lightning strike pine, right, okay. I just couldn't remember if it was lightning strike pine or lightning strike maple.
Oh, no, the maple is not. The pine is the only thing that's lightning struck.
Oh, okay. That makes it easier to remember then. To remember you had on your website a maple that was struck by lightning, but I must have been mistaken with that.
No, it wasn't. But actually, Liz, now I think of it, I'm gonna have to go down to the property again and look. So I do recall that the lightning strike did kill the pine tree, but next to it was another tree which was scarred by the lightning. Now, I don't know if that was oak, if that was from the maple that was scarred, because this past winter, a tree branch broke off, which was from the frost, and that tree branch that broke off was maple, and I cut that up. I'm using that, but I think that tree might have been scarred by the lightning also. I'm going to have to look into that.
Right, so you could advertise it as lightning scarred wand instead.
Well,
I'm
going to look into that. I didn't think about that until you brought that up, because I only focused on the tree that died. I'm going to have to go look in that and find out.
Right. So, yeah, I've had this wand for several months now, since February 4th. Or not February 4th, you took a picture of it in your house on February 4th. So sometime later in February, like Valentine's Day or something like that, I would say.
Yeah.
And I love this wand. I cannot get enough of this wand. Feel its texture. The coarse point is absolutely perfect. How do you pick a crystal to go in the kit? How do you decide not to put a crystal in it?
It's basically what I decide is if the wand doesn't, it depends. I buy my stones in bulk.
Right.
Like this past year, I bought a bunch of them at the Psychic Fair and Magical Marketplace in Nashua, New Hampshire. That's where Terry Milton, the Stone Lady, does readings every year. And I go there and I buy a bulk of stones. And then there's several shops up and down the east coast of New England where I buy some stones also in bulk. And so it depends upon what I have. I try to hand pick the stones the best I can. Sometimes you don't have a choice. It's like they've already pre-sold in bulk. So you have to grab, hope you get some decent ones. I've stopped doing that, because I've gotten shafted in those deals. So I go into the places that allow me to hand pick. It's a little more expensive, but in the long run, not really, because I'm actually going to use those stones that I hand pick. But it depends upon
the ones that you didn't.
Right. It depends upon the stone, the shape of the stone, the size of the stone, and the end of the wand. So if I have a stone that's small enough that will actually fit to the end of the wand, or the end of the big enough for some big stones, then I just use a Dremel tool and carve it in an opening and fit the stone.
That is really awesome. So do you use your Dremel tool to like make any other designs into your wands, or not really?
Well, I do a lot of hand carving with just a Bowie knife and a pocket knife.
Oh, okay. So you do it like old school.
Yeah. Well, you have to. If you're gonna do something like I do, I've had a lot of friends of mine who are serious professional woodworkers, and they let me borrow all these traditional woodworking tools. But I think if you're gonna carve something like that, you really need to, without it looking machine or artificial, you have to have the old-fashioned hand knives, and you have to do it by hand to get those patterns. It doesn't work any other way.
Right. That makes sense.
The Dremel tool is primarily just to carve in the setting for the stones, and for like wood like cedar, maple, and oak, I put a sandpaper bit on the Dremel tool, and I use that to polish the wood. On the lightning strike pine, I burn it, because the burning works far more efficient than sanding on the pine.
And why is that, do you think?
It's just the nature of the wood.
That's cool.
It's just the way the wood works. It's like with oak. I would really love to do that with oak, and I've done that with a few oak pieces, but it really doesn't play very well. It works wonderful with maple, but maple with the pine, I get these lovely patterns. With the oak, with the maple, it's very Japanese feeling. It's very unforgiving. So I have to really fight with it to get the patterns into the maple with the fire. But what comes out is very striking. It has a very katana-like feel to it, the contrast in the patterns. A lot of people think the maple is a very harsh wood for a wand. I think it's a very bold, very strong wood. So I like the maple a lot. It's a wrist breaker, but I like the maple a lot. I didn't always. I used to have a very love-hate relationship with the maple. But with this current batch of wood, I've really learned to appreciate maple a lot more.
Well, I'm glad about that. I think an artist needs to have that kind of, well, in a way, they need to kind of have that love-hate relationship because that's kind of what drives them. But at the same time, I think you need to love all of your work, or you might not put as much effort and time and care and love into it. So it might turn out to feel differently. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but when I do a wand, I'm not just doing one wand at a time or one type of wand at a time. I'm usually working at five or six at once.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like a...
Each one will be a different type of wood.
Right. So it's kind of like an assembly line sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see that.
It's like with the fire, apple and fire,
uh-huh.
It just doesn't work.
Oh.
I tried it once. I have some apple left over, which is very precious, and I tried it with the fire, and it just destroyed it. So it's like, no, fire and apple don't like each other.
Well, that's weird, I think. I would have thought that apple would have liked fire, because fire
It may not be apple per se. It could just be that particular tree.
It could have been. I'll agree with you on that one. I wonder if apple behaves, or that same tree would behave like that, like in a bonfire. Like if it wouldn't burn properly. That would be an interesting experiment to do.
When I burn wood, it's not exactly in fire. When I say burn the wood, it's usually just over a candle flame.
Right, but it's still burning the wood because, I mean, it's obvious that the wood is burnt in these photos, these three photos that you sent to me under Lily's new wand.
Well, the process of burning the wood is what you're really trying to do. Is you're just trying to create a thin char on the outside of the wood.
Right.
And then when you sand the wood off and you sand it down, when you sand the char off, when you get done sanding it down, the wood is all looks as light as it did before.
Right.
Oil to it, that darkness comes out.
Yeah, and that's what I really like about it. I like the contrast between the lightness and the darkness on the handle and around the curves and around the spiral especially. And yeah, I really love your work. I really, really do. And I really appreciate you making my wand for me. Oh, excuse me for my yawning. I am so tired. I just got done with a 3-day study that I got paid for, so I'm a happy camper for that. But it was 3 12-hour days, basically. Well, Friday wasn't so bad, but Friday was from 1 o'clock to 7:30, so that was only 6.5 hours. But the rest of the days were like 12-hour days. And I'm beat. I'm really, really tired today. So, let's do a musical break. Is there anything in particular you want to listen to?
Oh, guess who?
Oh, yeah, our favorite, Wendy Rule. Let me see if we have any by her. Hold on, let me... Wendy. Okay, so it's going to have to be Arabia by Two Hours a Day featuring Wendy Rule, but you'll still get to hear her voice.
That's beautiful.
All right, let's do that. So we'll be back in about 6.5 minutes.
Be naked in thy rites, both men and women also. And this shall last until the last of thy oppressors shall be dead. And he shall make a game of Benevento, extinguishing the light. And after that, ye shall hold thy supper.
To our next song, Dragon Ritual Drummer's Dance of Aroma, take a look at more ones than you can shake a stick at .blogspot.com.
We'll be right back.
And you have listened to Two Author Dea featuring Wendy Rule and Dragon Ritual Drummers. That was Aradia and Dance of the Roma, respectively. Welcome back to episode 56. We are talking with Ron of Ron's Wands. Hi, Ron. How are you?
Hi. You can give my full name and who I really am on the internet.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Afterphobe, for those of you who don't know. And I can never remember your last name, but you can go ahead and give it if you want.
Ron Sprague, S-P-R-A-G-U-E. Everybody pronounces it Sprague because that's the country Prague.
Right, yeah.
It's not Czechoslovakian, it's English. It's Anglo-Saxon.
That's awesome.
And what it means is it's the big chunk of wood that you throw under a wheel of a cannon to keep it from recoiling.
Oh. Well, that's weird. Kind of.
It just basically meant one of my ancestors did that for a living.
Right. Okay, so let's dive right back into what we were talking about before, your wand-making process.
Something that Glacius said in the chat room during the break, I stand up, and he said that he also felt that oak didn't do so well with fire either. There's many different types of oak. The three types I'm used to are red oak, white oak, and black oak. And I think that depending on the type of oak and also the individual tree itself, I've found that if you do it just right, oak is touchy. But if you do it just right, I've gotten some wonderful effects with oak and fire.
That's pretty cool.
And speaking of oak, who we just listened to earlier, our first musical selection of the day, she has one of my oak wands.
That is so awesome. Tell me this story, how Wendy Rule got your wands. I know you told it before, but I want to hear it right from you again.
She was in Salem, New Hampshire, just like half an hour away from me. So she was doing a concert in Salem, New Hampshire. So, of course, I had to go see her. She was right in my own backyard. And so I crafted it. I don't have it posted here. And I don't even have it on my Afterphobe page. But what I'll do is after the show, I'll take the pictures and I'll post them up on my Afterphobe page. And me and Wendy and the wand, and you can see how elaborate it is. And I'll get into how elaborate some of my wands get on later. I show up at the concert, and Wendy, she's kind of overtired, a bit jet lagged and everything. Everybody's a bit nervous. It's sort of like a VFW hall where she's holding this particular concert. And so everybody else is sitting near the back. I chose the front seat right next to the stage. I want to see Wendy. I'm all set. And what does she do? The other two people sitting at the table, I didn't know, were friends of hers. So she comes right up to the front table and just sits right down. She's a bit tired and starts talking with them. Of course, I'm like going,
Yeah, you went all schoolgirl on her, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, here's the thing. I withheld it. I don't know where I mustered this. It was a total illusion, but I just mustered some form of charm, you know, in grace and etiquette and a posture, you know, civilized. Inside, I'm screaming. I'm squeeing like a little girl, you know. So she notices this very weird shaped thing wrapped up in velvet, and she goes, "So what's this?" And the other people are sitting at the wall at the table.
You're waking up, my friend.
Hello.
You're there. Start again from where she said, "So what's this?"
All right, she said, what's this? Earlier, her friends were looking at the wand, which was wrapped in velvet, and they were saying, did you cut that thing properly? Yes, I did, because it's a very weird shape. And I says, well, I figured, you know, your Wendy rule, I imagine every moron and his brother is probably giving you one of these as a gift, but here it is, it's my own handcrafted wand. And she's being polite, oh, that's very nice, thank you. Opens the velvet, pulls the wand out, and her face just, her jaw drops. And she's like, wow. And throughout the entire night, she clung to that thing like a teddy bear. She showed it to everybody in the concert hall. She was so impressed with it. And between sets and between songs, she'd come back, and it was her and Kellyanna. Kellyanna would do a song. She'd sit back, and she'd show the wand around to other people. And then at one point, she sets, and this is the biggest compliment I can get from anybody, she sets the wand down, sits back, just looks at it from a distance, and in a very somber voice goes, that's powerful.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Yeah, and that just like that, just that right there floored me right there. So you can see it, and I'll post on my Afterflop Facebook page pictures of me and Wendy. I have it on my personal Facebook page, but I'm not going to share that with everybody. So I'll just take them off of that and put them on my public person page.
Awesome. Wow. You gave Wendy Rule a wand. I wonder if she still uses that wand. Do you stay in contact with her? Have you seen her with it like around, like in pictures and stuff?
I used to chat with her on Facebook, but it's Wendy Rule. How many people, when she shows up on her, as soon as she goes on Facebook, I imagine she must get 1,000 messages going, hi, Wendy, it's me, hi, Wendy.
I'm sure she would still appreciate hearing from you, even if it's just a hi, I know you're busy, but I just wanted to drop you a line.
Yeah, oh, I do it all the time, and occasionally she'll say hi back in just 2 or 3 words. But I know she can't talk with me because I'm pretty sure the second she goes on Facebook, she gets hit with about 1,000 private messages. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Wendy. Because she's never on Facebook for long. She goes on. She's on for about 3 minutes, and then she's off because I know that's the flood of people going into it. So here.
Right. So, I had a question and I lost it.
I had a question and I lost it too.
Oh man, we must be having like some fake connection here because that's just too weird. I believe in fake connection. Do you believe in fake connection?
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. It will refer to back on the shape of my wands. This is something I got in with Reverend Don Lewis when I was doing the Apple Wands for the Words of Witches Museum. I actually designed a whole series of odd-shaped wands. And when you see the picture, when I post it up on my Facebook page after the show, if you see the shape of Wendy's wand that I made for her, it's very elaborate, very weird-shaped, and I took a naturally curvy piece of wood and carved spirals into it. And it's just an elaborate piece of wood. And what a lot of people have to understand about the way I start designing my wands, they're not really meant to be held and pointed like you use of in a traditional wand. It's like my favorite wand that I use during rituals is like it's a standard pointy wand, but it's spiraled in such a way that if you lock your fourth finger and thumb into the groove and push down, it spins like a top.
Cool.
As your hand goes down, so it spins around. And that's the real purpose of using that wand. There, like one wand I had that I made for the World of Witches is that the way you could hold it in such a way that two people could hold the wand, but the hands would cross. So your hand would be touching the other person's forearm, and their hand would be touching your forearm, and you would both be holding the wand, and it would interlock your arms together.
That's cool.
And Rev Dawn would say, well, this is, that's interesting. What would you use that for? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here. Go ahead.
So the way the wands would interlock, and Rev Dawn said, well, what would you use that for? And I said, the first thing that comes to my mind is a hand fasting.
Yeah, that would be an awesome thing to do, a hand fasting on a wand.
So I mean, a lot of the wands on my website that I'm selling currently are obviously the hold and point like a normal stick wand. But I tried to design something, and these usually get gobbled up by the shops before I get a chance to put them on the internet. And they're wands with unusual designs that you can use in a multitude of ways. And some of the branches and wood that I have currently that hopefully in the future I'm going to have some really bizarre designs that you're just going to look at and go, what do I do with that? And that's up to your imagination. But I'm trying to veer off more into more abstract concepts of how you can use a wand other than just pointing in, which I think most people think of a wand as a tool to use to cast a circle. I think of the wand as something as a meditative tool where you play with it, like the Chinese grinding balls or juggling balls or, you know, just something you play with to meditate with. And that's why I want to try to get into more into my designs.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's really cool. I like that I got a question for you,
Liz, about this. Because I got friends of mine who are from the Earth Spirit community, and I learned from them that it's only when I got to selling wands in the World of Witches Museum, I was kind of confronted with the idea of crystals being at both ends, the crystal actually being on the pointy end of the wand. I always have my crystals on the grip. And I was always taught the reason why you have the crystal on the grip is that's the focal point of your energy. That's where your energy goes to the wand. That's sort of like the focus lens of that.
Right. Yeah. The thing with that is I think of the grip as more down along the pointy end. The wand extended, and then you focus your energy towards the end of the wand. But I always think of the end of the wand as being wider than the bottom of the wand, like the top end of the wand being wider.
All right. I've always had it that it's like a traditional balance point, like you would for a sword. The balance point is the grip would be the wider point, and then it'd taper off to a point.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can see that too.
I would grapple that.
I just find that my wand is held more comfortably towards the middle or the bottom end rather than near the top, near the crystal.
Well, that's the thing is I was also saying with my wands also is that I really, balance-wise or anything, they're really meant to be played with. You know, it's like I have a couple of wands where I actually twirl them in my fingers like you would a pencil.
Cool. Wow. So, you know, one of these days you have to take pictures of your house for me and for us because I want to see, like, the craftsmanship, like all of your tools and all of your materials and stuff. I just want to see it all, man. This is so awesome.
Liz, you'd be disappointed. I'm a traditional artist. I live with clutter all over the place. And I just put all my tools and stuff in a bag when I'm done.
Well, at least you're organized in that respect.
I'm a real artist. I just got papers and stuff just scattered all over the place. And the landlord really doesn't like that.
Well, the landlord can suck it, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's see what we have going on in the chat room. Oh, just your Facebook page. Oh, wait, no, we have more. Ron Sprocket, gotcha. Oh, that's funny. And I think Ron is showing some of the wood that he works with. Ah, yes, he's showing us trees. Wow. Organized chaos, yes, the first aid kit I made.
I'm looking at some of these things now.
Yeah, he says that you put energy into the base and it focuses the energy through wood and through the tapered point in a focusing. Yeah, I think that's an accurate description. So, in our 5 minutes left, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your wands and then how people can contact you if they want a wand, where they can go?
The obvious place is my website, morewandsthanyoucanshakeastickat.blogspot.com. But you can also reach me on my Facebook page, AfterFav, my AfterFav Facebook page. You can post a link to that on your Facebook page so people can get in contact with me there. And also AfterFav 007 at yahoo.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think we're ready to wrap it up. What about you? Any final remarks?
Yeah, I just thought of one thing. I have out of my own personal wands, and I'll also post a link into this. And occasionally when I'm carving wands, that things do pop out, like with your wand. When you were asking for one, I actually had some unfinished wands that were still charred that I never actually got to brush the char off of and then finish it. Because I remember I finished it in stages and I kept posting the pictures to you as I finished them.
Yeah, and I remember that.
And so as much as I try not to deliberately put any magical or spiritual energy into the work, I focus on as a craftsman at it. It just happens to come out that way. And I had two particular ones, one oak, one apple. And the one apple I was deliberately carving for myself. And no matter what I did with it, I really couldn't get it happy. I'd refinish it, recarve it, refinish it. I really wasn't happy, so I set it aside. And then one day I carved this oak wand, was very spirally, very twirly, and had lots of interesting designs in it. And one day I just sat down, grabbed the apple, grabbed the oak, looked at them, and I put them together, and they clicked together perfectly. They both fit.
Wow.
And I'll post pictures.
Well, that's kind of providential.
So it's like, even though I do talk about this very much as a craftsman, that's the approach I take it as a craftsman, because when I put the work energy into the work, I don't get too attached to them, because once they're done, they have to go off into the world and they have to find their owners. So once the work's done, I send them off. I try not to get very attached to them. But these two ones,
right,
I got attached right away, and they just went click. And that one wand that I deliberately made for myself, as soon as it clicked together, it was happy.
That's great. That's really great. All right. So thank you so much for this interview. It's been awesome. And I hope you are making more wands and posting more wands on your website soon. I see the last post you've made, you're kind of slacking. The last post you made was on February 15th.
It's not that I'm slacking, it's that a lot of the wands that I've made ended up in shops before they can even make it to the website. I do have a bunch of wands ready to go up on the website, so those will be,
they
will be soon.
Yay, and just as a point of fact, how much are your wands, in case people are wondering?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Current, if you look at the wands right now, Their 3231 plus shipping and handling is $1,269. So together with shipping and handling, they are $45.
Awesome. However, that's a reasonable price.
Well, that's the thing is, however, what's happening is because I'm looking at other shops that what I'm trying to do is I try to price my wands higher so I'm not competing with the shops, the local shops, because otherwise they're not going to buy them from the shops that I'm selling to. They're going to just buy them straight off my website. So since some of these shops are raising their prices, one of the shops is raising their prices, and I'm looking at a couple other shops which are going to sell them for a higher price, the wands are going to, on my website, are going to go up in price. I'm going to try to keep them, currently in total it's $45. I'm going to try to keep it about $52 per wand. I don't want to go as high as $55 because once you get past that point, it gets expensive. And people are just going to say no. But the prices are going to go up.
Wow, okay. So you've heard it, folks. Prices are going up. Get your wands while they're still hot. All right, Ron. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And
thank you very
much.
I'm
going to go to bed now because I'm so tired. I think we'll close out with Dragon and Tool Drummer's Fanga because I've never heard that one before. So it'll be two new songs we'll listen to today. And I want to invite you on my show anytime you want to talk about something, man. You know the call-in number.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So we'll see you next time, okay?
Definitely.
Next week at 10 p.m. Right here on Sacred Divergence Radio. Blessed be everyone. And here is Dragon Control Drummer's Fanga.
Thank you for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth and friends on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a topic for us to discuss on air? Connect with Reverend Elizabeth at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com and on Twitter at SDivergence with hashtag topic hat. See you next week at 10 p.m. Eastern here on Sacred Divergence Radio and the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.